Heavenly Father, as we look at your written word now, may we meet, may we encounter, may we draw close to your living word, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now, there are some passages in the Bible that even I, a curate of shortly under 1 year, even I know off by heart. But I must admit to you that most of those are ones that I know through songs. Songs that I've learned in Sunday school, songs that I learned in church growing up. And the passage we heard from Acts this morning is one of those passages. Well, it's the passage that immediately follows the song that I know. I'm not going to sing it for you, you'll be pleased to know, but I will recite it for you. The downside with learning the Bible from songs, right, this is generally true, is it means that when you come to actually reading it or reciting it, you end up reading it or reciting it in rhythm with the song. So even if you're not actually singing it, it sounds funny to everyone, so I apologize. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms, and this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, you'll find the rhythm of that just didn't quite scan normally, because it is, as I say, the song. And I tell you that not to boast of my rather superb memory, not to impress you with my declamation of Scripture, but because that passage, which immediately precedes the reading that we had from Acts this morning, is really crucial to understanding what's going on. And there's two key things that I want to draw out for us this morning. And they're things that we can find in both the passage about the healing and the passage that we read, where Peter is standing in the temple, telling the crowds what has happened. So the context is this. There was this guy outside the temple who was lame. He'd been there. He was lame from birth, it tells us in Acts. And he'd been there begging outside the temple. A good place, a good spot, catching the pious Jews as they went in for their daily prayers, asking for alms. And on this particular day, Peter and John were going for the afternoon prayers. And they caught his eye. They saw him. They heard him. And Peter, I got no money. Which is something much beloved of clerics and clergy ever since. That's the kind of line we can come out with. I've no money, I work for the church. And he said, but what I have got, I give you. And he reached out his hand and took hold of him and raised him up. And all of the crowds saw this. They saw because this guy went into the temple with them. This guy who had not been allowed into the temple before was now in the temple walking and leaping and praising God. And so the crowd gathered around Peter and John, amazed at what had happened. Which is why it takes us to our reading this morning. Because they wanted to know what was going on. And so Peter says to them, why are you amazed? And he does the first thing that I want us to learn from this morning. Instead of self-aggrandizing, instead of being proud, instead of making a point of just how impressive it was what he had just done, he points to Jesus. He makes it clear that this is in the name of Jesus. It's nothing to do with Peter and John. It's all about Jesus. And this is something he does in the original healing too. When he reaches out his hands, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He doesn't say, in my name, Peter, fisherman extraordinaire, disciple number one. He says, in the name of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It reminds me of a story. It's a story which is particularly appropriate at this time of year, about a donkey. A donkey who returns home one day, particularly excited. This little donkey goes up to his mum and says, Mum, oh, you'll never guess what's happened to me today. the most exciting thing. I was just there minding my own business, tied to the post and nibbling on the grass, as we donkeys like to do. And then these two men came along and they got me and they untied me and they took them with me. They took me with them and they took me down the street, and everyone came out of their houses and everyone started cheering and clapping, and they started putting their cloaks on the ground and they started ripping branches off the trees and waving at me and putting them down in front of me. Mum, I was famous. They did all this for your little donkey son, Mum. I've made it. I'm wonderful. At which point, the donkey mum turns to her son and says back to him, for we know that donkeys can speak to each other. Oh, little donkey son, she says to him, when they were clapping and cheering, they weren't clapping you. They were clapping and cheering the one you were carrying. And that's such an important lesson for us as Christians. It's not about us. When we see good things, when we do good things, and I believe the church does good things and we need to do good things, it's not about us. We need always to point to Jesus. So that was the first thing that Peter nailed. It's not about me. It's not about what I've done. It's about Jesus. And the second thing was this. In this speech which he gives there in the temple, when he's explaining to the crowds what's been going on, in some ways, that would have been an ideal opportunity to be passive-aggressive, to deliver a real I-told-you-so speech, to point out to them that it was Jesus, that same Jesus who they'd crucified, and they should all feel terrible about this. They should all feel bad. They should all hang their heads in shame and really listen to me. No. What he does, he sets it in context. He explains what has happened. But then in verse 17 and 19, he says this, "Now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. And in this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that the Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." Rather than just saying, this is all your fault and you should feel terrible, he sets out what has happened. And then he gives an opportunity for response, an opportunity for new life, an opportunity for God's new creation to be at work there and then. Even those people who perhaps sort of the couple of months before had been the ones calling for Jesus to be executed, Peter, in this generous speech, offers to them that chance of new life. And that's what he does in the original healing too. He does something which offers new life. He reaches out his hand to the lame man and raises him up. He offers him that chance of a new life. The guy's there on the floor and Peter offers out his hands. He can knock his hand aside and say, I'm not taking your hand, I'm lame, I'm not standing. Or he can reach out and grab that hand, as he does, and walk, be healed, a miracle, new life, something new. Because that is the other hallmark that we see in these passages. And that's something that's at the very heart of this Jesus thing, this way of being, this way of following Jesus. There's always an opportunity for new life. There's always, always the chance of starting something new. It's always doors that are opening, not being slammed in their face. Jesus turns the other cheek. Jesus raises new life. Jesus comes not to condemn the world, but to save it. He comes to bring life in all its fullness. This is the hallmark of the Jesus movement. So Peter has got it. He points to Jesus and he offers new life. There's an action and there's a word. And so, where does this leave us? What difference does this make to us? Is this simply a nice story about something that happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago? Or can it actually make an impact in our lives as followers of Jesus here in Horsham? Yes, you'll be pleased to know, it can, and it should, and it must. Every opportunity we have, every contact we have, every conversation, every action, every place we are, every encounter, family, friends, neighbours, work, school, wherever we are, imagine if all our interactions had these two characteristics, that they point to Jesus and they offer new life. Imagine what a transformation we can offer to society if that's underpinning everything. Jesus, new life. You might not remember the words of that song, but I want you to remember the truth that it focuses in on. Jesus, new life. And my prayer for all of us this morning is that our lives may be like this, that our actions, our deeds, and our words may be like this, that we may live in the knowledge and love of that Jesus who saves us and offers us new life. Amen.